Yeah, so it would have been January 2nd, Monday morning. I get a text message from Mark, and hey, would you be interested in doing a sermon with me on babies? And I just laughed. I said, I don't have experience with babies. Yes, Mindy's expecting, but I don't have this wealth of knowledge on the subject. But after kind of praying over it, I was really convicted the Holy Spirit was going to lead the way on this, and it seems to have come through.
Yes, he certainly has.
And so, you know, I don't have a lot of practical knowledge about babies, and so I was really glad that Mark, who has three kids, had a little more practical knowledge on the subject. So can you tell us kind of your experience with your first?
Certainly. And with that, I was telling Trevor, and the story of my first experience is about Logan and how he was born and the experience of going through that. As all knew, everything I had seen and experienced, I was wanting to share, and yet that birth experience is not a pretty experience. You know, it's definitely, there's some surprises. And so I was wondering about when I was telling this, and do I get to say this up front? I mean, is this appropriate?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so in Trevor, then he brings up Romans 14, 22. And so here, and we just share with that, and the faith of which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So with conviction, I just wanted to, you know, share this and have that preface this. And this is going back in time to 2004. It's June 19th, the evening of the time where these contractions, these pains that start for a mother to know that it's about time. And these are the warning signs. These are the ingredients to knowing that your baby's coming. And this pain that she's feeling, it's going in succession, and there's periods of moments, and then they get longer, and then they get more frequent. And then we've been known through training, we went and worked with a midwife, and we were going to have our baby in our home. That was our plan. And so we're doing a home birth here, and so Rochelle and I are at home experiencing these indications, these signs that a baby's coming. And they're getting closer and closer, and it's getting into the evening, late evening. We're calling the midwife, and, you know, do you think you should come now? Okay, she's just asking the questions, and she's like, no, not yet. And so a few hours go by, it's getting in the middle of the night, and we're, oh, okay, we better call. Can you come now? Okay, well, all right, I think I can be there. And it was possibly 4 or 5 in the morning by the time I think that the midwives came. And all through the night, and I'm thinking about basically how tired I was, and that there was again the conviction I didn't want to be caught maybe going off to a corner and falling asleep and not being there for Rochelle, and how horrible that would be to live out the rest of my marriage with that memory that I wasn't there for her. So there was a sense of fear involved there. And yet, you know, you're just super tired going through all night trying to make her comfortable. And it seems like you were doing just runs to the kitchen or runs to get something that would make her feel comfortable, whether it was waters or juices or some sort of substance, ice cream or whatnot. In this case, it seemed to be you got to have a vast supply of pillows as well. So
okay.
There was lots of resituations. So it just seemed to, you know, trying to be comfortable was the hard thing. And there was just a neat time spent there. And once the midwives came in, our bedroom got transformed into a hospital room. And they brought in lots of supplies and equipment and just started making it ready for a baby to come. And so that was pretty transforming. That was interesting. And then when the midwives came, you know, it was, you know, can I help you or anything? And then, oh, and do you have a history of fainting, Mark? And so, like, the first thing off, you know, they just kind of knew me that I had a history of fainting. And, you know, Rochelle gave them clues. They knew. But it kind of surprised me, like, well, yes. Okay. Because, you know, I thought that was nice of them to worry about
me.
Absolutely. you know, there was okay, we'll get a little juice or maybe a sweet snack or something that, that you could have. So because I hadn't a clue what I was up against, what was coming. So at this rate, and I do have a history of fainting, and there was times where that has happened. So with the preparation, we had the moments getting closer and closer, and finally it was time that the baby was coming, and I got to see Logan first, and you know, he had hair, and that was really neat. And then I remembered my oldest sister Cheryl and how she came out, and the stories were that she had so much hair that she had to have a haircut. Just it was really long, and that was really impressive. And so, but he didn't need a haircut. He had just a little bit. But they're you know, getting him out. There's this ingredient part of giving birth that I thought was a surprise. I never heard about this. There's a birthing sac that has to be dealt with, and that was really gross. I did not expect that at all. And that had to be prepared and disposed. And then they asked me, hey, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? No. No, I'm good. This is good enough. But there's just a lot of mess involved. You know, once you get to Logan all cleaned up, then you get to see all the features. You're kind of curious about how everything is made. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I relate it to a little toy car. You look at the little toy car and you look underneath it and you look around it, you look inside it, and you can see it's got all these little features, the drivetrain, the suspension parts. And so I'm looking at Logan, and, you know, oh, wow, look at all the fingers and the knees and the elbows and the little butt. But it just was amazing to see how small and yet so perfect, just so like Rochelle and I. And then I was curious to see what color of eyes he had. You know, I was hoping that he might have blue eyes, and yet he got Rochelle's beautiful brown eyes. So, but he got to see different features of both of us, and that's what was just a neat discovery. And then came the next kind of responsibilities, just after holding and enjoying meeting your firstborn, was that part about the stuff coming out of them. So there's this first number two. So you know what number one and number two are, right?
Yep.
So out of a baby comes this number two shortly after they're born. And, you know, it's the most black, tar-like, gross substance you can imagine. And it's a quantity that you can't imagine that it's coming out of such a small package. And, you know, I was pretty determined that I was going to be a father who would change diapers. I wanted to do that. And yet this was really scary. I was like, what? Is this right? And so initiation for sure was here. And, you know, just prepping, getting the diaper wipes and the diapers. And, you know, boy, if anybody gets a gift for Mindy and Trevor, please get them more diapers. You just go through so many diapers when you first are starting out. It's just a great gift. And, you know, most people would like to get they seem to give little socks and little onesies and little blankets. And I just kept on hoping, oh, wait, can we get some more diapers? Those are gold. You know, just prepping for taking care of Logan was really enjoyable and a challenge, too, just to do it efficiently and not get, you know, things coming out of them onto the walls or onto me. That's, you got to be careful with that. But that's my first experience about holding my first baby, and just kind of hopefully giving some insights there.
Yeah.
But how about you, for you, Trevor? What was what's, you know, since you don't have a lot of experience with babies yet, what was your first experience?
Yeah, my brother had his first child about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, So Hugh, my nephew, was born in Boston. I wasn't able to be there for his birth, and so I didn't even get to hold him until he was a year old. And actually, Mindy and I were dating, and you know, Mindy was holding the baby because she's tons of nieces and nephews, super comfortable with kids. And all of a sudden, I have this baby thrust into my arms, and all of a sudden, I'm holding it, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's a one-year-old kid. Is it going to jump? Is it going to, you know, you don't want to break your brother's kid. And so since then, obviously, I've come a long way.
God's made you ready yet, so that's great. And then there was certainly after the progression of taking care of the baby, you know, Rochelle and I, we were wanting to progress the life of our baby spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so we made a decision to have a baby dedication, and we asked the pastor of our church at that time, and it was just a really neat opportunity to surrender our child into a life with Christ. And also we wanted to share that experience with the congregation, and how you know, like this morning in Sabbath school, there was different classes for the kids, and you know, those people that have invested time in preparation, spending time with God to prepare a message, you included, Trevor, to share with our children. You know, we want to not just dedicate our son and daughter and other son, but to include the congregation. And that's really what was amazing about that experience. And yet, part of our conversation about this sermon came up. We went on some tangents, but this one was something we stuck with. There was something about a pastor who had a young child that he thought he didn't need to have dedicated.
Yeah, so I have a friend who's a pastor, and he and his wife just had their first kid. And he's talking to his wife. He's, you know, why do I need to stand in front of the church and dedicate my child? You know, obviously my life is dedicated to Christ. We're going to raise our child in the church. And the church will ultimately come alongside. So why do I need to stand up and publicly, you know, hold up my child? And his wife reminded her that she gave her life to Christ as a five-year-old after a baby dedication. She went home and asked her mom, you know, mommy, why did those people stand up with their babies? And her mom was able to tell her that the parents were dedicating their children, that they wanted the church family to come alongside, and she was able to tell about, you know, Jesus and how he covers our sins, and then was able to lead her daughter in a prayer to accept Christ. And it was a reminder. So my friend's wife reminded him, it's not just about our parents. Our baby dedications are about our family and the commitment that our family has to helping us raise our kids.
That was a great reminder. That was really neat. And one of the verses that was given as a guide to this topic of babies, there was a few choices, and we read through them all. And then when we read this one,
really jumped out.
It definitely stuck, for sure. It was like, oh, this one's right. So Psalms 127, 3 and 4. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And so when we read that, we immediately got into tangent of talking bows and arrows. And then it was all, you know, hey, that was kind of a neat tangent, you know, something that we both shared in common and we didn't know, that was pretty cool. And so we were talking about how Trevor looks like a warrior, and we had bows and arrows that we played with as kids. And so, but, you know, so children are like arrows is what this scripture was pointing to. And so we thought that was really neat. We wanted to go forward with it, and God was providing.
Yeah. And you mentioned as a child, you had a certain opinion about how families received their children.
Yeah, so like, you know, here the arrows in the hand of a warrior, you know, there's multiple arrows, but then I was maybe 3 to 5 years of age and thinking about this topic of families and seeing, I would see families that had 2 kids or seeing that some had 5 kids, and then I'd see some, like there was a family that was in Idaho that we had a friendship with, and they had 15 kids. I was like, wow, that was amazing. How did that happen? And then I connected it with our pets. You know, I would see our pets give birth, and they gave birth to a litter. And so, you know, there was the cats that would give birth to maybe 7 or 8 cats, and then maybe our dog would give birth to maybe 3 or 4 dogs. And so I immediately connected this with how humans were born. I figured, well, parents didn't have a choice of how many kids they had. Exactly. I figured that, you know, once the husband and wife got married, that God just provided them with a large family or a small family. And, you know, it was just like, you know, we had litters. That's how I thought. And then somewhere along the line, my oldest sister discovered my theory and corrected me on that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we, as we were studying, we went back to the beginning. We decided to look at Genesis, where our first family comes from. And we realized that the first commandment that God gives to Adam and Eve is be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it, the fish of the sea and of the birds of the sky and every living thing that moves on the earth. So that's a pretty blatant command, you know, be fruitful and multiply. But we don't see until Genesis 4 that they actually, you know, get on that and conceive a baby. And so we kind of had some talk back and forth about maybe they didn't have time to. Maybe that time in the garden was so short that they didn't have the opportunity, or they were so focused on the other, subduing the other animals that they didn't get on that. But we realized then that the first child who was actually conceived to them was Cain, and he was conceived in sin. And the first baby born out of sin actually was Jesus, conceived of a virgin and the Holy Spirit.
And that was just kind of interesting. And as we talked about this, it just was profound that that through Adam, you know, came our generation. We were all born into sin, mm-hmm. and yet the way out through with salvation being through a baby, and that through Jesus, was just really impressive. And seeing that, we kind of wondered about the motivation, and seeing that maybe Adam and Eve didn't feel like they needed to have kids right away in the garden, but boy, out of the garden, they might have seen that their convictions were okay. Well, God says that that out of a woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and so, you know, maybe they thought they should get busy and, you know, see if, and look for a savior as soon as possible. But anyway, this also kind of connects with that original verse that we brought up from Psalms 127, how children are like arrows. And so we were talking about archery, and you showed me this really cool YouTube video of an ancient archer technique. Yeah. And so we found this video, and it was showing how he is displaying how an arrow is to be used in mm-hmm. ancient archery, and how he can shoot it more efficiently than a modern archer. And so with that, I brought something.
Oh, really?
And so I wanted to share. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
This is my first bow.
Hey.
Check that out.
Yeah. That is
So this is a lot cool. like what we saw in the video.
Yeah.
And he was very proficient with it.
Very proficient.
And
like three arrows in under a second.
Yeah. And so if you give a child a bow like this,
hold
here, you go ahead and show them
yeah.
What happens when you give a child an arrow and a bow.
So yeah, somebody who's never held a bow before, oftentimes arrows in the right hand, bows in the left hand, so they just kind of knock it on the right hand side of the string there. And those of us who know better, we, you know, obviously correct them to get them to place it where
we see the wear marks on that bow.
Yeah.
It's all on the on the correct side.
Yeah.
But even
shot
that's just
arrows.
How I was taught. I didn't know I was doing it wrong, I guess, with that type. And then you know, this was kind of like connecting with the words of Jesus in Matthew 19. It says, "Give it." Let the little children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And so
as they're knocking on the right side of the bow there, let them keep doing that, because they can get better than you can.
Right. It was kind of neat to see that the, you know, just by the guiding of a child, you're doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes as adults, we correct our children. But in this case, it was like the children got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you brought a bow, and that's nice.
Okay.
But this is more what I think of when I see a bow.
Oh.
And,
wow.
We got a little more technology here.
Okay.
Obviously,
so
you know, we're going back
to... lesson here?
Yeah, we're going back to that verse, and, you know, obviously our parents are the archer in our analogy, and our child is the arrow, and we're trying to connect our children with Christ. And so we've, you know, we have mechanisms that we've established into our daily life that can assist with this. God has provided some, and we've worked with some. And so we have... You know, as you draw the bow, yours, if you pull it back, the longer you hold it, the harder it gets. Some of the technology that's in this, the modern bow, we have cams. And so it's hard to start, but then once you get it back a ways, it's really easy. And you can hold it for a really long time. And so we have, you know, the Holy Spirit's guidance and assistance with that. As we're raising children, we're preparing to release them towards Christ. We have the Holy Spirit taking some of that pressure off. We have a guide. So as our Christian walk progresses, we're walking down relatively the right way as long as we're, you know, abiding by Christian policies. It's kind of like driving down the road. As long as you're looking at the road, you'll stay relatively on the road. If you start looking out the driver's window or the passenger window, you start drifting one way or another. So
and
as long
the
as
the sight.
Yeah. Well, and then we have the sight, which is the Word of God. And so that kind of fine-tunes us down so that we can actually, you know, we put the points on Christ. And so it really assists us to keep our eyes focused directly on the target. And, you know, we have...
And what's that thing?
Yeah, we have a stabilizer here, which I'm tying in with time in prayer. So...
I don't have that.
No, you don't. No. and, you know, the more time in prayer we have, the more it kind of takes off the bumps. It's not that we don't have hard times. It helps us to recover after we do have that. And so it takes some of the vibrations out of life. You know, there are stabilizers that are longer and shorter, but...
Sounds good.
Yeah, and then we have guides here. And the guides, you know, help the string to go back into place. And so... That I'm relating to our Christian family, who's coming alongside.
That's you guys.
Who's coming alongside our families, helping our parents to stay in line, to come back to what's true center, and then I have a trigger.
So what is that?
So this is another piece of technology that has allowed us to pinpoint the exact moment at which the string's released. Which gives me just a little more control over, you know, the exact moment. So I can be back and prepared to release the string, but if I don't release it at the right moment, there is not going to go where I want it to. And so we have the trigger, which is that moment that the parent has kind of released the child towards Christ, and it's really up to the Holy Spirit at that moment. It's up to the child, and it's up to the Holy Spirit to guide them. And so we've related that to Psalms 119, 9 through 16.
But first, when I and you were talking about this was like immediately broke out into this thought. And I was like, okay, well, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Which is exactly like when you hit that trigger, when I feel how that trigger is, it's like there's no action to it. I mean, there is no turning back. You are releasing that arrow. It's just on its flight.
Yeah. But Psalms 119, 9 through 16, How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all your ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word.
And so, where is this target? Where this arrow is headed is a target.
Is a target. That's true.
Yeah, and it sounds like we're aiming for the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Well, I don't have the kingdom of heaven, but I do have something else.
Oh, okay. That might work.
So here we have a target.
And in Scripture it says, let the children come to me. So let's see how this all this works. And he hits the target right there. The baby has been released. Nice shot.
Now, we have released our child.
Amazingly.
It worked.
Wow.
And in a moment, yeah, we release control. And we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our children to the kingdom of heaven and to, you know, God's bosom. Yeah. And
that's, again, you know, just let the little children alone. Don't hinder them from coming to me. And, you know, that first moment that the baby comes out of the womb, you know, like with Logan, just, you know, it was the midwife's instruction. And what, you know, you were really helping this picture is just, you got to have that skin to skin contact.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need that intimate personal time with God. We need to spend personal alone time to be close to God, to be held by God. To really just dig in. You know, it comes with time in study of his word, but it also comes in quiet, just time spent alone and being quiet and letting God speak. When I was a young teenager, I had a youth leader who encouraged us to take time to spend in a closet. Like, go in, close the door, spend time in a closet. He said, take a timer, put it outside the door, so you have no distractions in with you. And he said, you know, spend 15, 30 minutes in a closet. So we decided we were going to challenge you this next coming week to each of you spend, you know, 15 minutes in a place where, if you can get in a closet, if that's harder, find a place that has no distractions.
How did that work for you?
How did that...
I heard that you did that a couple nights ago.
Yeah, I did. We both decided that if we were going to challenge you, we have to take the lead and be willing to do it ourselves. And so we, I found a morning, and I emptied out my closet, and Minnie was still in bed, and she had no idea what I was doing. She thought I was kind of weird. Got in the closet, and I put the timer, and I closed the door. And it was really great. It was really great to just kind of quiet yourself, take that time to, you know, let go of all of the things that just get busy in our lives, like Melissa was talking about this morning.
Absolutely.
And just let that go and let God talk specifically to you.
Yeah, and then my experience was I went to the downstairs bathroom and turned the fan on, and I knew that there was going to be distracting noises on mm-hmm. around, and just kind of make this white noise. And then, you know, that I put my phone timer outside, and then just set it as 15 minutes. And that time, you know, my first few moments was just, okay, all right. And then, you know, just overwhelmingly, just different people came into my mind, and just was able to pray. And, you know, when that timer hit, it was just like, oh, I could be here more. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you to just put yourself in that place this week. You know, for when you think about the babies, when they first are so young, they're so helpless, and they need to be touched, they need to be held. And there's some really strong evidence for this, and how babies, as they're developing, if you don't touch them, if you don't hold them, that they really do get sick, and they really don't develop healthfully. And you know, that was just kind of a sad truth about it, and how, you know, I'm hungry and I'm tired and I need to be held. And you know, we're all babies, and we all need to be just guided and directed and released into and shot at the kingdom of heaven. So and then when that arrow penetrates, you know, it's that intimacy, it's that home that it belongs. And that's where God wants to be reconnected. He wants to be with you in the kingdom of heaven, and that's coming soon. And you know, that path that it took from when you triggered it to when it hit, it's like our lifetime. It's over just like that. You know, it life is too short. So we really do need to dedicate our lives to Christ and dedicate time to spending with Him. So, Trevor, if you would ask a prayer blessing on this congregation, a closing prayer, please.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You humbly. We pray that You would guide us throughout this coming week, that we would rely on the mechanisms that You've given us, that we rely on the Holy Spirit to help and guide us to take off some of that extra strain. We pray that we would spend time in Your Word, that we would be able to focus more on You. God, we pray that You would give us time in prayer, that we could find 15 minutes to spend in a closet just to stabilize our lives, just to come back to what's true center. We pray that our church family, we would grow those connections, that we would spend those times in groups, that we would spend those times fellowshipping, just to formulate the personal relationships that allow us to guide each other, to help each other stay on point. We pray that you would take over control of our lives, God, that You would take over all of our anxieties and worries, and You would just help us to be headed straight towards the kingdom of heaven. God, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.